Greetings, listeners and friends of RAOTC. This is VK3OTN, the station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia, saying welcome to this broadcast for September 2018.
And hello, listeners, from me.
You know by now that this broadcast is carried on a range of frequencies each first Monday morning of the month, except for January. However, please don't forget the repeat transmissions at night at 10:30 hours UTC on 80 metres in Melbourne and Tasmania and via a telecast. These details can all be found on our webpage, www.raotc.org.au, and we again thank all our volunteers who relay this program at the various times.
Club news. The management committee met on the 16th of August and faced a number of issues, some of those referred to in previous broadcasts. Here is a summary of this meeting. 1. An active amateur from the southeastern region of Melbourne in John Cheeseman, VK3XM, was welcomed to the committee. John is a member of the Frankston and Mornington Peninsula Radio Club and the Southern Peninsula Radio Club. He is a computer man and has his own website, jpcsystem.com. Welcome, John. We look forward to some valuable contributions from you. 2. The club finances continue to be quite solid, certainly better than many other radio clubs or clubs for anything in general. Printing costs remain stable, and the APO increases last year have largely been offset by careful preparation of OTN journal before posting. 3. You should by now have your September edition of OTN journal. Please note all comments, not just the stories so ably edited by Bill Roper, but please take note of the QSO party information on page 5 and the notice of AGM on the back page. The from the committee and from the editor's comments are important from the point of view of the running of the club. These are what make for an interesting publication. Of course, there's always room for your story about how you got into AR and what you have done with your interest since you were first licensed. Have you any photos that could be used, particularly on the cover of OTN Journal? These are always interesting and most needed. You know that old saying that a photo tells more than words ever can. 4. The annual QSO party will be held on Saturday the 15th of September between 0600 and 0800 UTC. This is the only fully inclusive event that the club runs, so we ask you all to be part of this function. It would be good for as many members as possible to be involved, not just because it is a club activity, but because it shows your support for the club in general and gets your equipment working. The details are on page 5 of the latest OTN journal. You may treat it as a contest if you wish to send in a log of your efforts. Otherwise, it is, as the title suggests, simply a QSO party, a meeting of members and friends on air to meet fellow club members. We ask your support and participation in this event. Put it in your calendars now. 5. In recent broadcasts, we have spoken of the possibility of these monthly broadcasts moving into history. I am pleased to report that every effort will be made to maintain these broadcasts, but we do indeed need help with HF relayers. In recent weeks, there have been some extremely strong winds here in Melbourne and Adelaide, and these have upset the antenna systems of two people on whom we rely very heavily for the HF relays, Hans and Bill Roper. Unfortunately, these things do happen to all of us at times, but each of these gentlemen is now of an age where wandering around on rooftops isn't really an option anymore. So Hans will not be doing the 20-metre relay, but will in fact try his hand at 40 metres, starting this month. As regards the broadcasts themselves, when Bruce and I stepped down from this position of organising these broadcasts at the coming AGM, Bill Roper has very kindly said that he will assist in finding material for the broadcasts. That's very good of Bill, but it would be very wrong of all of us to expect him to be doing that every month. Bill has given outstanding service to the RAOTC over two decades, and as he will become secretary in the near future, he doesn't need any additional workload beyond the membership and OTN journal. So if you can help with assisting with relays, especially on HF, we would be delighted indeed to hear from you. New and deceased members. This month, we are pleased to welcome into membership of RAOTC John Pickett, VK2BKP, previous call signs ZL1ALW and ZL2AID, who became full member number 1748 on the 16th of August 2018. Welcome to you, John, and we hope that you will enjoy your time in RAOTC. Sadly, it is with regret that we have to note the passing of Bob Neal, VK3ZAN, life member number 1030, on the 27th of July 2018, and Lindsay Allen, VK3IQ, member number 1674, in mid-August. Let us pause a moment in memory of our departed colleagues. Thank you.
This is VK3OTN, the station of the Radio Amateurs, Old Timers Club of Australia. As children, we learn so much about the world in which we live that we must take it for granted. But often there is a story behind almost everything, and this we may not meet for a long time, if at all. The calendar by which our lives are governed is one such story, particularly the need for information of leap years.
Not so long ago, we had an article about time from the point of view of atomic clocks. Now, here's a short article from Jake Port, a young Melbourne science writer and frequent contributor to Cosmos magazine, entitled, Why Do We Have Leap Years and Leap Seconds? For around 5 million leapers, February the 29th is a special day, their birthday. It only happens once every 4 years and signifies an important reorganisation of time. But what is a leap year, and are there any other leaps that keep our clocks accurate to the microsecond. We may think that our system of timekeeping is perfect, that at any point during the day the time is exactly the same as it was the previous day. Unfortunately, that is not the case. In fact, by the end of a normal calendar, our clocks will be out by almost 6 hours from where they were at the start of the year. The calendar and the planet fall out of sync because of a mismatch between the length of a day and the length of the year. It doesn't take exactly 365 days for the Earth to complete an orbit around the Sun. It takes 365 days, 5 hours, 48 minutes, and 45 seconds. To resolve this discrepancy, our calendar, called the Gregorian calendar, adds one day of 24 hours to the calendar every 4 years. Again, this adjustment is not exactly correct because it effectively adds 6 hours per year rather than the exact amount of the discrepancy. To compensate for this, most century years, like 1700, 1800, 1900, are not leap years. The exception to this is years divisible by 400, the years 1600, 2000, 2400, and so on, which are still leap years. The chart below shows how the date of the northern summer solstice will drift over the source of a 500-year leap cycle. Finer adjustments, leap seconds, which are extra seconds inserted into certain days to adjust for irregularities in the rotation of the Earth. Why do these irregularities occur? It's in part thanks to the Moon. The path of the Moon results in tidal forces that cause water to rise and recede along coasts all over the world, and calls the gravitational attraction of the Moon and the Sun. However, as the Moon rotates around the Earth, it does so much more slowly than the Earth rotates on its axis. We see this as the Moon moves across the sky rather than standing still. The effect that this has on each celestial object is that the Earth's spin is very slightly slowed down by around 0.002 seconds each day, while the Moon speeds up in its orbit, causing it to move away from Earth by around 4 centimetres each year. Why does this 0.002 second matter? Well, if a clock ticks at one tick per second, or 86,400 ticks per day, it will slowly fall out of sync with actual days as measured by the rotation of the Earth. To combat this, the leap second was introduced in 1972 using atomic clocks, which only lose 1 second every 100 million years, as a more correct standard for times. Since its first use, a leap second has been added around once every 1.5 years.
This is VK3OTN, the station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club. We have all heard of photons, but have we heard of photonic chips? If not, that is about to change.
Here's another article from Andrew Masterson, a science writer based in Melbourne and currently news editor of Cosmos magazine. How do you slow down lightning? Turn it into thunder. Researchers at Australia's Centre for Ultra-High Bandwidth Devices for Optical Systems, known as CUDOS, QDOS, at the University of Sydney, have done just that, albeit in a rather more strictly defined and managed sense. In doing so, they have potentially solved a couple of major issues handicapping the fast-growing cloud computing and telecommunications industries. A team of researchers led by Moritz Marklein and Birgit Still has successfully stored information on a microchip by converting data encoded in light into sound. The world-first achievement is reported in a paper published in Nature Communications. The acoustic data is stored for only a brief period before being turned once again into light and sent on its way. The interval, however, is extremely valuable. It enables sufficient time for the information to be processed and distributed. Doing this using current communications technology requires using electronics, a process that generates heat. In a single circuit, the heat generated is negligible, but when circuits are combined and scaled up to the size of telecommunications or cloud computing systems, the thermal output is sizable and costly. Electronic systems are also vulnerable to electromagnetic interference. Recognizing this, tech giants such as IBM have been working on the development of photonic chips, microprocessors that use light instead of electricity, seen as a critical step in building quantum computers. These bring a number of advantages. They are very good for sending information over long distances at high speeds through fiber optic cables. And because they use photons rather than electrons, they are not prey to the distorting influence of electromagnetism. However, their speed is also an impediment to accessing the information they contain. Quote, "For this to become a commercial reality, photonic data on the chip needs to be slowed down so that they can be processed, routed, stored, and accessed," end of quote, says Merkline. In order to do that, the Kudos scientists succeeded in building an acoustic buffer inside a chip, which not only slows the incoming information by converting it to sound, but also allows each chip to store and retrieve information across several wavelengths at the same time. Quote, "The information in our chip in acoustic form travels at a velocity 5 orders of magnitude slower than in the optical domain," says Still. "It is like the difference between thunder and lightning," end of quote.
It has been a long-standing practice of these broadcasts to finish off with something humorous. So here is today's offering.
It was the height of summer, and a fearful drought threatened the crops throughout the land. One hot, dry Sunday, the village clergyman told his congregation, "The only thing that will save us is to pray for rain. Go home, pray, believe, and come back next Sunday ready to thank God for the rain he will send." The people did as they were told and returned to church the following Sunday. But as soon as the clergyman saw them, he was furious. "We can't worship," he raged. "You do not yet believe that God will send us rain, perhaps this very day." They protested, "We prayed, and we do believe." "Believe?" said the clergyman. "Then where are your umbrellas?" Because our program this month is just a little bit shorter than was originally planned, here is a second, very down-to-earth joke for you. A woman was examining an expensive jumper in a department store. She wanted to buy it, but was put off by the price tag. Sensing that she could be persuaded into a purchase, the assistant wandered over, ready to deliver her sales patter. "Can I help you, madam?" she inquired. "Yes, this jumper's a bit overpriced, isn't it? I've seen similar garments in other shops for around $60, yet this one's priced at $190. "Well, you see," began the assistant, "there's a reason for that. This jumper is of vastly superior quality. Feel the texture. The wool actually comes from a rare breed of albino sheep confined to a tiny mountainous area in Mongolia. It's a beautiful yarn." "Yes," replied the woman, "and you tell it so well."
Thank you for listening. This concludes our session this month. We shall be back with you on Monday, the 1st of October 2018. Until then, keep well and smiling. This is VK3OTN, the station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia, saying 73, and listening now for any check-ins and callbacks.